Sermon, Abide in Me. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, August 14, 1904. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch is me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15, verse 1 to 4. It is necessary that we maintain a living connection with Christ in order that we may bear fruit to the glory of God. The branch receives from the vine its life and the power to bear fruit. Our lives will correspond with the nature of the vine of which we are a part. If we are connected with the true vine, we shall bear the fruits of righteousness. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verses 6, 7. Christ has never told us to take our troubles to our brethren and sisters. He desires us to look for help, not to humanity, but to divinity. In obedience to his word, to which we have free access, we shall find that which will satisfy the longing of our souls. There is altogether too little dependence put upon the Mighty One. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verses 8 to 11. If your joy is full, will you not let it flow out? Will you not be heard praising God? Why do we not in our churches hear words of thanksgiving and praise when the precious word of God is presented? It is not the fashion now to praise God in the congregation. Shall we not bring it back into our midst? I remember in the early days of the message in 1842, when Elder William Miller was preaching, he would sometimes pause in his discourse, raise his hands to heaven, and exclaim, "I thank thee, Lord, I praise thy holy name," and a wave of thanksgiving would go through the congregation. Every heart was thrilled, and the face of the speaker was illuminated with the glory of God. But how seldom do we hear the praise of God? How much thanksgiving is there in our hearts to God? If a friend does us a favor, we thank him. Why are we not as polite to God? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that he should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verses 12 to 16. We should carefully examine the nature of the fruit we are bearing in our lives. We are not to bear the same kind of fruit as those who are in the world will bear. We are to give evidence that our life is hid with Christ in God, that Christ is abiding in our hearts by faith. Are we ready to make any sacrifice for the good of another? Jesus made this a test of our discipleship. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 35. Let us seek to better represent Christ. We must make straight paths for our feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. John 15, verse 17 to 20. When Jesus was about to leave his disciples, he left them a work to do. This work we are to seek to understand and take hold of intelligently. Just as surely as he has something for us to do, he will impart to us the grace to perform it. Of Christ, after his resurrection, we read, Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 14-15. Jesus did not confine his labors to one place. He traveled constantly that he might present the truth to as many as possible. I am thankful to see this tent pitched here. The Lord would have the work that is done here performed with an eye single to his glory. If you will labor with prayer and faith, taking God at his word, the light of heaven will shine upon you as you seek to proclaim the truth. The same God who gave you the message is ready to speak to the hearts of those for whom you labor. We do not want any fanaticism, but we do want a living faith in a risen Savior. You remember that after the day of Pentecost, the disciples went everywhere preaching the word. This work is needed now. You all have friends and neighbors. What can you say in the great day of judgment if you have not warned them of the nearness of Christ's coming and urged them to prepare to meet the Savior? Christ is soon coming. We have only a short time in which to work. We are to reflect to the world the glory of God. We are to let Him shine through us to others. We are to be in a position where we can explain the Word of God to those who have not studied it. Many of us do not thoroughly understand the Word of God because we do not study it sufficiently. We are to live by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God, by assimilating the Word of God. God has at times sent angels to bear a message to individuals. You remember the case of Cornelius. He was a man who feared God with all his house. He was praying for light, and the Lord placed him in connection with the light that he desired. God would have us in a position where he can place us in connection with those who have not the light as we have it. The angel said to Cornelius, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Acts 10, verse 4. He directs him to the place where Peter is to be found. But it is also necessary that Peter should receive a message from God that he may be prepared for the arrival of the messengers from Cornelius. By the representation of the sheet let down from heaven, containing all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, Peter learned the lesson that God is no respecter of persons. Verses 12 and 34. He went with the messengers to the house of Cornelius, and there he found many whom the centurion had gathered together. As Peter spoke the words of God, the Holy Spirit fell upon the whole company, and they were converted and baptized. We want the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus, that our hearts may be drawn out after those who know not the truth. If the Lord has given you light, you are under obligation to give that light to others. It will be just as precious to them as it is to you. We are not as neighborly as we should be. Sometimes those right around us are under conviction, and we know it not. As we seek to impart to others what we have received, we grow in knowledge and the love of God. We are to let the refreshing waters of salvation flow from us to others. Can we sit passive and have nothing to say when we have received a blessing from God? We need a more healthful religion. Let others know how precious Christ is to us. Let them see that we are bearing fruit to the glory of God. Become acquainted with your neighbors. Visit them if they are sick, and see what you can do to help them. You may be able to give them advice and counsel, and obtain an influence over them that will draw them toward the Savior. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 1-3. Such was the testimony faithfully borne by the Apostle John. And when, in his old age, he was banished to the lonely isle of Patmos, his persecutors thought his voice would be forever silenced. But here in his solitude, he received a wonderful revelation from his Lord. What he saw, he was bidden to write in a book, that we who live in the closing days of this earth's history might also know of the future as it was revealed to him.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Revelation 1, verse 1, 2. John was given a view of heavenly things, and messages were given him to write out for the church in all ages. Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2, verse 1-5. The love of Christ is to be revived in our hearts. The church did not used to be as lifeless as it is today. Where is the love for souls that we used to see? God has a work for us to do. Where there is one worker in the city of Philadelphia, there ought to be 100. We are to make ready a people prepared to stand in the day of God. Before I left Washington, someone said to me, You ought not to try to stop off on your way to Boston. You are not strong enough. You should go directly to the sanitarium in Melrose, where you can rest. I replied, I am going to speak to the church in Philadelphia. For years I have desired to visit that place and speak of the coming of Christ with power and great glory. A few nights ago, I seemed to hear a voice saying, Philadelphia, Philadelphia. speak to the church in Philadelphia and tell them that they must return to their first love. God will work through every member of the church who will open his heart in living faith to God. I received an assurance that God would give me strength that I might visit you. The Lord has rich blessings for those who will keep his commandments in Philadelphia. He desires you to bring the light of his commandments to those that are around you. You are to be living, fruit-bearing branches in the true vine. Tell the people that the Lord is coming soon, and you want them to be prepared for his coming. We can see the signs of his advent everywhere. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 37, Luke 17, verse 26. As we see the record of the unholy marriages and the divorces, can we not see that society is rapidly becoming as it was in the days before the flood? Then let us urge the people to seek the Lord while he may be found, that he may not come and find them unprepared. With one touch of the finger of God, the greatest buildings that can be erected will fall as kindling wood. We have seen this in Baltimore, and we shall see it in many other places. These things are the voice of God, speaking to us that he is God and that he has all the powers of heaven at his command. If we go on, unheeding, indifferent, and careless, his judgments will fall upon us. Shall we, with the greatest truth that has ever been given to mortals, be satisfied with the feeble efforts that are now being put forth to warn the world? We see a few tents pitched, a few ministers at work in various places, but where is the church? Where are the households? Do they realize that they are to take hold of God by a living faith and do everything in their power to let the light shine to others? While I was in Nashville, a scene was opened before me. A great ball of fire seemed to fall from heaven, and from it went forth flashes of light. When these flashes of light would strike a building, the building would burn like tinder. And then I heard someone say, "I knew that this was coming. These are the judgments of God that I knew were coming." "You knew?" said another. "You were my neighbor. Why did you not tell me that these things were coming? Why did you not warn others?" Oh, let every one of us take hold of the work of God. Let us be Christians in the home. Parents, are you bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Remember that you and your children are God's property. You are God's servants. Let the light of truth flow from you to others, and you will manifest a kindness, a tenderness, a love for their souls. Kneel down and pray with them, and you will see that Christ will impress them by his Holy Spirit. Not your words, but the Spirit of Christ will convert those for whom you labor.
Jesus calls us all to be laborers together with him. You will not all be specially denominated as ministers, but you can all work for your neighbors. If you find sickness in their homes, you can care for them. If you find them in trouble and discouraged, you can comfort them. Take to them the word of God, which will be to them as the leaves of the tree of life for the healing of the nations. May God help us to think of these things. Jesus is ready to save you, ready to wash your garments and make them white in the blood of the Lamb, if you will come to him.